In keeping with the series that Harry has been preaching, the title of the sermon this morning is Spring is in the Air. So that's a quote a lot of you have heard over the years. But we're not going to look at it from a cleaning perspective. I'm not about to tell you what to get out of your closets. And I'm not about to get into how much clothing women have and how much they need or how much they should have. I saw his title out. I'm not touching the clothes thing. I'd like to live a long life. So we're going to talk about spring from the seasonal perspective. As the weather breaks from winter, the days get longer and the temperature climbs. For many people, it is a renewal of life, a new lease on life. They feel reborn. The abundance of flowers, green grass, leaves on the trees proclaims new life. Everything that was dormant for the winter, conserving energy, burst forth into life all around us. For some of us, we can't seem to get outside fast enough. Trimming the yard, tending the flower beds, preparing the soil for planting. It's a wonderful, glorious time. And as we get older, spring brings with it a renewed life. All of a sudden, we are energized again, taking off the slowness of our wintry sleep, our hibernation. We begin planning activities and events, trips to see family and friends, things that get our motor running again. Can any of you agree with that? I know. My wife has seasonal disorder. Well, I learned that later in life. I never could understand why in the winter it was doom and gloom. I don't suffer from missing the rays of the sun. Winter, I love winter. It doesn't bother me. But for some people, it is a disease. It takes life from them. And when spring gets here, my gosh, they burst out the front door. If you don't believe me, come by my house sometime. As soon as the temperature gets up high enough and the flowers start coming out, she opens every window in the house. Forget the humidity, the pollen, the dirt, the dust. But it's a wonderful thing to have the windows open. But why is spring so different from summer, or fall, or winter? Is it because spring represents life? If that is true, then summer must represent heat. And fall, the opposite of spring, as life begins to drain out of everything. And winter. Well, winter must represent that which must be tolerated until spring returns. Or for some people, winter clearly represents hibernation. Do you find yourself sleeping longer in winter? Not wanting to get up because it's cloudy out, there's not rays of sunshine? Is this true because spring is so pretty? All the flowers and trees budding out? Fall is quite spectacular. There are people every year who take a drive to the Shenandoah Valley to see the colors of the leaves. Do any of you do that? There are years that people go every year to the Shenandoah Valley to see the leaves. Some people even travel up the East Coast all the way to Maine to view all the changing colors of foliage and the gorgeous spectrum of color. How many of you have done that? Judy has some friends. Isn't it glorious, gorgeous, driving up to Maine and seeing all those leaves? By the way, the best way to do that is in a coach with like an 8.5-foot by 6-foot windshield. It's gorgeous. Of course, you do have to look at the road once in a while. In fact, many will say winter is quite lovely also. Crisp, clean, cool air. So clear that you can see for miles and miles. And after a snowfall, everything looks so clean and fresh. The sharp edges of everything is softened with a covering of snow such that the views are spectacular and smooth, pleasing to the eye like rolling hillsides. Do any of you feel that way? I love a fresh snow. It kind of covers up all the ugliness of life. You look out your front door, your window, and it's just gorgeous. Of course, then people start making tracks in the snow, and then the snow plows and all the salt and everything else. But I love snow. It kind of covers up our sin. It's almost like the blood of the Lamb washing everything away. It's almost like we get a new lease on life. So spring isn't so special because it is pretty. Spring is special because it's a reminder of rebirth. The old is passed away, and the new has come. We have a mimosa tree in our front yard, those of you that have been to our house. And our mimosa tree, I think, is the last living thing in the world that ever shows a leaf once spring gets here. Judy's flowers will be up in the front yard, up and down the sidewalk, all bloomed and blossomed and beginning to fall off before one little leaf shows up on that tree. I can't figure it out. But it maintains its leaves all summer and into the fall and looks glorious. But people come to visit, and they walk up the front door, and they see all these pretty flowers, and her baskets of flowers hanging, and they look at a dead tree. They're like, why don't you guys, like, cut this thing down or something? Now, if you come back a couple of months later, it looks gorgeous. I guess everything within a time. 2 Corinthians 5:17, and you'll forgive me, I'm using King James. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. That pretty much sums up spring. The rebirth. All things are become new. God's creation is reborn every spring. Is your spiritual life like spring? Does it have an awakening just once a year? Maybe for a couple of days? Perhaps around Christmas or Easter? Or perhaps Mother's Day or Father's Day? Or is it during times of trials and tribulations? Things aren't going well at home or work or with your spouse or your children. Or your grandchildren. Or perhaps it is during the time of mourning the loss of someone close to you, a parent, child, co-worker, or friend. Is it during those times that you have a spiritual awakening and realize how hibernated you have become, kind of like putting your spiritual life into the state of winter? Why is it our human nature to just bop along from day to day instead of every day being a spring day, bursting forth with new spiritual life? One could argue that we are living in a world where the evil one has dominion. And because of that, we just do what we have to do to get along from day to day. That would be a very defendable perspective, and one could easily adopt it. But have we forgotten that we have been sent the Holy Spirit to comfort us? Have we forgotten that Jesus is right there with us? And as the classic Footprints in the Sand poem points out, the set of footprints in the sand, the single set of footprints in the sand, are the times that He carried us through the difficult times. It is so easy in our lives to get caught up in the day-to-day drudge that we don't get up in the morning bursting forth with a spring in our spiritual life. Sometimes we roll out of bed going, ugh, I can't get up. We feel like winter. I don't know if I can do it. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but I'm sure several got up that way this morning. Do I really have to go? Ed and Karen, do I have to get up and be there early to help? Oh my gosh. Why can't I come like everybody else and just sit for 55 minutes and then I leave? I'm not saying you all said that this morning. This world is oppressive. You know the old saying, if it was easy, anybody could do it? It's not easy. It's hard. Why do you think God gave us the Comforter? Do you ever think about that? He's there to help us when we get up in the morning and we're not bursting forth. We're not taking that opportunity to extend our hand, to hug someone. I always talk about how we hug. I think that's great. I know we're afraid about getting coughs and germs. Just turn your head sideways when you hug. But that hugging spirit is a renewal. It's like a rebirth. Do you know how excited you get as a congregation during the greeting time? You do. Judy has to continue playing because you can't get back to your seats. Not, you're probably oblivious that the fact that she is playing. But I can't tell you, those of us in the choir musicians, where's Lois? How many times she tags the ending, still waiting for Steve to get from over here back over there. Steve's learned to go around the back, though. That way he doesn't get the stink eye from Harry. But that time of welcoming and joy is a rebirth of our spirit. It's like spring. If we but listen to the words from the choir's anthem earlier this morning, we would be moved each and every day. When I gaze into the night skies and see the work of your fingers, the moon and stars suspended in space. Oh, what is man that you are mindful of him? You have given man a crown of glory and honor and have made him a little lower than the angels. You have put him in charge of all creation, the beast of the fields, the birds of the air, the fish of the sea. Oh, what is man that you are mindful of him? This first part of the anthem is the awareness of God Almighty and our insignificance when compared to him. Yet he has given us a place of honor with him. And then the color and mood of the music changes dramatically as the composer reveals God's magnificence. O Lord, our God, the majesty and glory of your name transcends the earth and fills the heavens. O Lord, our God, little children praise you perfectly, and so would we. Hallelujah, the majesty and glory of your name. Notice how the composer used the phrase, little children. It's an example of praising God perfectly. The innocence of a child. Think back to children, your grandchildren or your children, looking at their sweet faces, how innocent they were. They're pure of heart and so thankful for everything. They're not caught up in the day-to-day oppressions of this world. Remember how the tiniest of things could make them burst forth into joy and laughter. They have no concerns for the things that constantly weigh on us as adults. Oh, to be like a child and joyously praise God perfectly. No better words could have been written to that anthem. The words and music of this song causes a spiritual renewal to burst forth in our hearts each and every day, like a new budding flower of spring. What a tremendous song to begin every day. Music helps us shake off the doldrums of every day and to begin each day as a spring day, throwing off the heat of summer, the decay of fall, and the bewilderment of winter. It allows us to face each day as a new creature, dedicated to serving our Master, proclaiming what we believe. I believe in God the Father Almighty, the Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord. No better way to start each day than professing what we believe. Every day we have the opportunity to have a spring day with respect to our spiritual journey. We can make a conscious choice to make it a spring day, a new beginning, ignoring what occurred yesterday and starting afresh. As we begin each day to serve Him, what better path to take than to be more like Him? To live our lives in the example He put forth. Learning more about Him so that we can be more like Him. More of His grace to show others. More of His life. More of His love. His love in the sense that He died that we might have eternal life. Just from that perspective, every morning should be a spring day for us, for our spiritual renewal. As we roll out of bed and throw off the rest, we have a new opportunity to share Christ. Let us pray. Our Father, may we look at the season of spring as a renewal of our spiritual lives every day. May we throw off those things that oppress us. May we start each day anew, the clock starting over, a new opportunity. May the previous day's oppression melt away. May we burst forth in sharing You with others. Father, may we never lose an opportunity to share our faith in You and our belief in eternal life. And may we never look at the seasons of spring, summer, fall, and winter again without realizing that they can also be applicative to our spiritual lives. May we not get caught in the heat of summer, the decay of fall, or the hibernation of winter as we live for You. For we ask this in Your name. Amen.